Hello and welcome to our Institute of Nutritional Endocrinology Digestion Module. I'm Dr. Rita Marie Loscalzo, and I am thrilled to be able to present to you valuable information about digestion and how to understand how it works, to assess what's going on with your clients, and to help them put together protocols and processes and diet and lifestyle changes that help to optimize their digestion. Digestion is super important, and it doesn't always show up as digestive symptoms. So that's where you get to learn and become the sleuth that helps your clients to overcome problems which may be related to the digestion, and they didn't even know it was related to the digestion. If you cannot digest and assimilate your food, there's no way you can be healthy. No matter how good your diet is, no matter how perfect your exercise program is, without digestion working, you just can't get well. And that's the thing you're going to need to get across to the people that you're working with, is that we really need to start with your digestion and make sure it's working properly, even if they don't present with digestive symptoms. And I'm going to show you as we go through the presentation how some digestive problems may not show up as digestive problems. So people are thinking that they have perfect digestion when in reality they're not. So you're going to get the tools to have you feel really comfortable and competent with understanding what's going on with people's digestion and then knowing what to do about it. As far as the evaluation, we're doing it on a level without labs. We're doing it with just observations, symptoms. And then later, when we start our module for evaluation, you'll get the deep scope on how do you and when do you need to run labs for people to see what's going on with their digestion and to clear it up. So we're going to do superficial on the assessment, but deep on the protocols. Some of you have very, very detailed anatomy and physiology understanding, and I didn't want to spend a lot of our time digging into the basics. So what I did was I prepared some stuff for you so that you have background material, not only background material to fill you in if you're not quite as in-depth on anatomy and physiology, but even some stuff that if you are at an in-depth level, it's going to take you beyond. So I'm really excited to find online some public domain textbooks and of physiology and anatomy. And what I did was I pulled out the sections on digestion. And all of these extra documents and videos can be found on the page called advanced/references. Anatomy at a Glass Digestion is a 10-page document that just has some nice pictures and descriptions. This one is it's a really nice chapter. It's about 25 pages, and it just goes through all the different stuff in a really easy to understand way so that you can study, you can go back, and you can really understand. If you're not sure, it will help you to do that. And then this next one is really in depth as well. It goes through more details of peristalsis and all, has some pictures and all. So just more. And you know how it is that it said that you only remember about 7% of what you hear. The more you hear it, the more you see it, the more you're going to get it. So if you just go through these things and spend some time studying these, you're going to really get a feeling for, you want to be so familiar with digestion that it's like, wow, I know this. I couldn't resist giving you this. It's a 500-page textbook. But it's from like 1910, and it's a full physiology textbook. So I didn't just do the digestive part. It's just to see what was done in textbooks back then. It's always kind of fun. And if you're interested, it's there, and it has all the different physiology sections. So you don't have to go out and spend $200 on a really good anatomy and physiology textbook. You've got this. And then the next one is the anatomy coloring books. It's just basically anatomy, and you can color it if you want, but it's got the lines so that you can fill in, and then you just make sure you don't look at the key, and then it has the key so you know if you're right or wrong. So it really does help you to know that you're learning this stuff. And then finally, this one is another quiz, and it's a Word file, and you can just fill it in on the Word file. So this is what this looks like, and it just, you can go in there and you can type. Now, the other thing I did was I spent hours and hours pouring through videos on YouTube and various other sites. Some of them are real, real basic. Some of them are real short. Some of them are a little bit longer. But they're all really well illustrated. So it actually gets you to see in motion this bolus of food making its way through the digestive tract and squirting things out. Really kind of fun. So there's a whole bunch of them there. Like none of them are more than, I think 8 minutes is the longest one. But it goes through everything. So it's your basics, overall physiology, pancreas, digestive juices. You see the juices squirting into the areas. And you actually get to see what's happening. It's kind of cool. That's actually what's happening. That's your pancreas. That's your gallbladder up here. And the green is the bile. And the kind of tannish is your digestive secretions that have your digestive enzymes. So I really love this. McGraw-Hill, they have online lessons. And you may be interested in going through this. You can actually play the lesson, which shows you all about the organs of digestion. But then they have others right there. And they have little quizzes, so you can quiz yourself. They have flashcards. It's more intended for school kids, but it certainly works for us. And it just shows you like what's happening. So I would suggest that you make some time in your schedule to take a look at these things. And then the stuff that I'm really excited about are these worksheets. So they all start the same with a little description of the problem. And then there's an evaluation section, like how are you going to evaluate for this problem? What are some of the common causes? What are some of the lifestyle habits that you can do to heal this problem? What are some of the dietary habits? What are the herbs and nutrients that can heal this? These can be like, you can put this in a little folder, and when you're working with people and they come in and you're like kind of working through stuff, you can use these as your little quick reference guides. Of course, we know there's no protocol, right? There's not everybody that has leaky gut does this or that. You're going to be modifying it for who they are and what their situation is, what their budget is even, is going to play into it. But you're going to have the protocols like right there in front of you of all the possibilities to hone it in. And then if you need to look something up for more detail, you can. Instead of going through the entire digestive tract anatomically and then physiologically and then pathophysiology-wise, I'm going to go through them in sections, so because it keeps it more interesting. So we're going to go through the upper GI, the lower GI, which would be the small intestine, large intestine, and then the liver, gallbladder. We're here to talk about digestion. And we're here to talk about digestion not from a standpoint of just how do you balance your own digestion, although that's a big part of it, right? You want to be able to do that. But you're really looking at how are you going to be balancing your clients. And how are you going to be knowing when someone comes in, do they have a digestive problem, even if they're not presenting with a digestive problem? Because some chronic health issues that people just can't get resolution for, that nobody really is helping them with, can turn out to be something like leaky gut or gluten intolerance. So it's really important that you have the skill set under your belt to be able to handle this. So as with everything that, and when you present to people as well, you should be saying the presentation is not intended to replace one-on-one relationship with a qualified healthcare practitioner. It's not medical advice. What we're talking about is a sharing from my knowledge bank to yours so that you may then share it from your knowledge bank to those of your clients. We're not diagnosing, we're not ever telling anybody to get off of medications because this great herbal treatment is better. We're just opening people's awareness so if they are under the care of a doctor or on any medication, that you know that you check with your doctor before you begin any major lifestyle changes. So let's begin with, why are we even studying digestion? There's so much to digestion. It's not just your food getting into you. The digestion affects your brain. There's actually shared embryologic tissue that when we were in the embryo forming, there was a piece of tissue that was brain that diverted out to become brain and gut. And they're connected via the vagus nerve. And the vagus nerve is a nerve that runs. It's a parasympathetic branch of the nervous system, and it runs from up down into the digestion and controls a lot of things related to your digestion. Okay. The other thing is, you're not just what you eat, you're what you digest and absorb. People say, oh, you are what you eat. Well, you can be eating wonderful food, but if you're not digesting it properly, or you've got bad bugs in your gut and that are fermenting it and turning it into toxins, or you've got a leaky gut, Or you're gluten intolerant, so that what you consider whole grain bread is not dealing handling well with you. Or you have a food allergy and you're allergic to broccoli and you're eating a lot of it because you know it's good for you. Well, it's not good for you. So we have to be looking at not what people are eating, but what they're digesting and absorbing. Your gut provides a protective barrier. About 75% of your immune system is located right inside of your gut lining. That's a huge percentage. But think about it, it makes sense, doesn't it? Because your gut is what's exposed to the outside in a way that's not as protected as your skin. Your skin is exposed to the outside, but it's got a barrier that doesn't allow things to penetrate as easily. But your gut is intended for absorption, and there's an open tube at the top, and there's an open tube at the bottom. It's all the same tube, and there's an opening there. And it's real easy for stuff to get in that doesn't belong. So that immune system's under surveillance. Whenever you're eating, your immune system is like, that little cat waiting to stalk its prey, or a tiger waiting to stalk. It's going, okay, we got to watch out. Something bad might be coming in. Is this self? Is this outside? Is this self? Is this outside? And that stuff is called the GALT, the gut-associated lymphoid tissue. And what we will find when we discuss allergies, food allergies a little bit later, is how the GALT, that gut-associated lymphoid tissue, actually gets inflamed when you eat foods that you have a sensitivity to, when you're exposed to allergens, and can cause your belly to bloat up like three sizes bigger, all within, half an hour. The impact of the gut is body-wise, because when you eat, and the gut gets the nutrients in, if you don't appropriately digest your food and absorb it, then your organs and glands are going to be starving. They're going to be missing something. If you've got a leaky gut and your gut is allowing toxins to get into the bloodstream, you're going to have symptoms throughout your body. So you really need to be looking at the gut. And I would say looking at it in everybody that walks in the door, even if their symptoms have nothing to do with digestion. Just make sure. There may be just little things you can do to help them improve it, but you really do need to be looking at it. And you want to understand, you want to be able to communicate with your clients, other providers. Because chances are, as people come into you, they may be under the care of a medical doctor or a naturopath or an acupuncturist. But specifically, the medical doctors who are maybe prescribing drugs for them, and you're thinking, well, maybe there's another way. You want to be able to understand this well enough that you can actually talk to somebody and be understood and have them understand you. We are in a position as nutrition coaches to change lives on a big scale way. People are getting more and more fed up with being in a health system that doesn't work, that's very expensive. That is very has a lot of side effects to the treatments, and it's not as effective as it needs to be. And lots of people are starting to look for alternatives. And we have to be there and ready. We can't be there and just saying, well, just eat lots of fruits and vegetables. They can read that in the newspaper. And while that is true, that we need them to be eating more fruits and vegetables, there's a whole lot more that needs to be looked at. And to be done and to be understood. So I want you to be able to just be able to explain it on a level that your clients and patients understand, but also to be able to talk with the doctors. If they say, well, would you talk to my doctor? Or you say, I'd really love to talk to your doctor. And it may take you a little while before you get there, but you will get there. How does your digestion influence other body systems? Well, number one, we talked about that already, is nutritional deficiencies. If you can't get your nutrients absorbed because of faulty digestion, you better believe that your heart is going to suffer, your pancreas is going to suffer, your thyroid is going to suffer, your reproductive function is going to suffer because they're not getting fed. When you have proper digestion, you don't have inflammation in there. When you have inflammation in your digestive tract, it creates irritation to the lining of the tract, which affects absorption and affects that barrier, that immune barrier. And so now, instead of protecting the rest of your body from some of these toxins and large food particles that you haven't fully absorbed or antibody antigen complexes, you can't. And it's that stuff's going into your bloodstream, and the whole rest of your body is under possible attack. You are not supposed to be able to absorb toxins through your digestive tract. They are supposed to be filtered and sent down. If your gut's not working properly, you will be absorbing toxins. And better believe that those toxins are going to affect the whole rest of your body. The other thing, way that the digestion affects other body systems is if you have a lot going on down there, you're having a lot of immune stress. And what does that mean? It means that you're taking away some of your immune system surveillance from other parts of your body where it may need that protection. And you may be getting some really weird stuff going on, like autoimmune diseases and allergies and inflammation, joints, muscles, bones. And yeah, digestive problems influence hormone imbalances in a whole bunch of ways, some of which we've already talked about. In one particular way is by allowing some of those xenoestrogens to be recycled and recycled and recycled and affect the way that your hormones are working. And then finally, neurotransmitters. Right? You've got the gut-brain connection. And when your gut is not working properly, your neurotransmitters are affected. There are serotonin receptors in your gut. And if you are not absorbing your nutrients and you are not taking in the right B vitamins and amino acids, you better believe that that's going to affect your mood and your neurotransmitters. So let's talk about the digestive tract. I mean, I don't want to stop and tell you every little detail. I get that you have the overview. You've seen me present the mouth to anus model many times. And that's the physical digestive tract. We're going to talk a second about how the digestion doesn't just begin in the mouth. And there's an actual name for that phase of digestion. It's called the cephalic phase, which begins in your head. This is just a picture to show you everything in the digestive tract, and we will go through each of these in detail. Your digestive tract's job is to take the nutrients from your foods you eat so that the cells in your body can use them. That's its main job, and to protect you from the toxins in what you eat. So let's talk about the three main functions of your digestive system. Well, one is digestion. And what does digestion mean? It means the breakdown of food into molecules that the body can use. Digestion is broken into two parts. One is mechanical breakdown, and the other is chemical breakdown. Well, we all know where the mechanical breakdown happens, right? It starts in your mouth with those teeth, those molars crunching down that food. And then when it gets down into the stomach and passes into the duodenum, the majority of the chemical breakdown happens. A little bit of the chemical breakdown does happen in your mouth because you secrete an enzyme called salivary amylase. But most of that happens further down in the stomach and in the duodenum. The next phase is absorption. Once you've broken those molecules down into particles your body can use, you need to be able to pass them through the small intestine into the bloodstream so that they can be carried around through the body. And I'm going to show you exactly how that happens. And when you understand how it happens, you're going to be able to understand what could be going wrong. And then finally, there's the elimination phase, right? That's the mouth to anus model. Is it goes in one way, comes out the other. But it comes out looking quite different on the other end if you've done your job properly. The fiber that's not digestible passes through. And any toxic waste products, any chemicals, any things in the bile that your liver has added along the way as it's detoxifying your environment is supposed to be eliminated. Any hormones that were used up that your liver said, oh, we don't need this anymore, that eliminates the waste particles of those. So anything that needs to be eliminated is eliminated through your bowel. And that's the elimination phase. So those are the three main functions, digestion, absorption, and elimination. So let's talk about assessing the digestive tract. There's a number of ways to do it. When people think of assessing parts of the body, they right away jump into lab. And lab's a good thing to do, but I don't jump into lab. Lab is one of my tools. It's just one. There are so many other tools that we can use, and we're going to learn about those tools as we go through the symptoms. We can do the symptoms. What are they healing? We could use online assessment scores. We can use paper and pencil questionnaires that we have them fill out. We can sit and interview them. I highly recommend that you use a paper and pen or online assessments tool, because for you to ask all the questions you need to ask to really get to know this person, it could take you an hour or two or three, depending on the person and how deep their history is and how much they go off on tangents. But if you keep them focused, then you'll know the questions to ask. Those online assessments and the written history forms, they don't take the place of the history. They certainly don't, because you need to clarify, you need to actually speak to the person and get their take on it. But it's a really great way to hone in and shorten your time. Another way you assess your digestive tract is through something called transit time. We'll talk more about transit time as we go and talk about the large intestine later on. But transit time is basically, how long does it take you? How long is the bus route from mouth to anus? How long? Is it 30 hours, 3 days, 2 days? Is it 12 hours, 6 hours, 4 hours? Or is it right there in the middle at maybe 18 to 20 hours where it should be? That tells us about the quality of your digestion. If it's too fast, you're not absorbing those nutrients. If it's too slow, you're not getting rid of the toxins fast enough. And your people will be having one or the other quite frequently when they come to see you. Because typically when they come to see you, they're coming to see you because they're tired of being tired, or they're tired of having digestive problems, or they're tired of their doctor putting them on medication and they want to find a nutritional approach. And you better believe that you're going to want to assess their transit time. And we'll talk about how to do that in the elimination phase, in the large intestine phase. The other piece is lab. You want to look at markers of malabsorption. If you've done some other stuff first, or if you get a person in that's been working with five other practitioners, has still not gotten results, you listen to what they have to say. They're eating a good diet. They're exercising. They're de-stressing, they're seeming to do all the things you think they should. It's like, maybe they have a gut critter that we need to identify so we could put a very good attack in place to get rid of it. Or maybe there's something else going on in their gut. So that's what we would do. We could do markers of malabsorption. We can do critters, parasites, candida, etc. But there's also physical sign of nutrient deficiencies due to malabsorption. And as we go through each section of the digestive tract, I'm going to remind you of these. Inflammation and allergic reactions. If a person is constantly getting hives and it seems to be related to what they're eating, or even if it doesn't seem to be, that's a clue that there's something going on in their gut. If they're having inflammation and they're having allergic reactions, they most likely have something out of balance in their gut. I mean, it's not 100%, but it is most likely the case, especially if they have eczema, psoriasis, frequent skin rashes. And then if they have some other stuff, you really need to look outside. There's certain symptoms outside that we'll talk about with each section that relate to digestive tract, skin, gums, nails, lips, tongue, joints, bones. So assessing the digestive tract is not just asking them how often they have a bowel movement. Although you better believe that that's an important question that you should be asking everyone that comes in the door. You're going to have to ask that embarrassing question, and if you don't want to ask it in person, you write it on a questionnaire. How often do you have bowel movements? What do your bowel movements look like? What color are they? What's their consistency? I'm going to show you a chart later that you can compare their consistency to and kind of understand what's going on. What's that consistency like? Are they long and skinny? Are they short and fat? Are they long and fat? Do they come out in one piece? All important questions. And we'll go through that in detail when we do our evaluation module as well. But we'll give you the beginnings here. Let's talk about the four stages of food processing. We kind of talked about that a little bit earlier. We said that the three parts of digestion were breaking the food down, absorbing it, and eliminating the excess. So this is basically adds the eating. Ingestion is eating. Digestion is using physical and chemical meals to break down complex organic molecules into usable parts. And that's where your enzymes come into play. And they'll take long strings of proteins and break them down to individual amino acids. Long strings of carbohydrate, bring it down to individual sugars. Long strings of fat, break them down to individual fatty acids. And then the absorption is basically you're pulling all that across the membrane into the bloodstream. You know, you really, when you think about it, your mouth has a direct access to your bloodstream via your digestive tract. So it's really important, and I'm really grateful that 75% of my immune system is going down there to protect me. And then finally, the elimination is the removal of wastes. So now we're going to talk about the four phases of digestion. So these are related to the particular body parts that are involved. So here's a picture from the top to bottom, but this doesn't put in the cephalic phase is the brain phase. When you see, smell, or imagine seeing and smelling certain foods, it causes a reaction. Your body gets ready. It starts to secrete digestive juices. It starts to salivate and secrete salivary amylase in there. That's the cephalic phase. If you're in the time when you're starting to eat, you are in a fight flight mode. You've just come from work. You're grabbing your food. You're eating it at a meeting. You're not even thinking about your food. You might as well not eat it, because what you're doing is you're putting yourself in a position where you're not going to digest your food much at all, because everything shuts down when stress gets in the way, when cortisol is in your system. It closes down the sphincters we're going to talk about, decreases the salivation, decreases the enzymes, shuts down the ileocecal valve. So that's the cephalic phase. The next phase is a really brief phase. It's about 6 seconds long. And so I'm pointing to the esophagus, which is this tube that runs from the back of the mouth down into the stomach. And we have a more detailed picture so I can show you how that all works in a sec. But it basically, your food goes into your mouth. You've got three sets of salivary glands, the parotid, the sublingual, and the submandibular, and those secrete digestive juices, saliva, into your mouth so that it moistens and begins a chemical breakdown. We've got the mouth, we've got the esophagus. So the cephalic phase could be short, or it could be a while. It could be like you're making food, or you're sitting in another room and somebody's making food in the other, and it's 15 minutes before you actually get to eat. The esophageal phase, 6 seconds. The food goes from the mouth to the stomach in about 6 seconds. The gastric phase could be anywhere from, it could be 45 minutes, half an hour, 45 minutes for something really quick and easy. Say, for example, you have a piece of watermelon. Quick and easy, out of the stomach really quickly. But if you have a steak dinner with a baked potato and vegetables, that food could be in there from 2 to 4 hours. So fat stays there longer, proteins stay there a medium amount of time, and complex carbohydrates, and then simple sugars go out of there really quickly. And that's one of the reasons, if you've heard about food combining, that they say don't mix fruit or sugars with other foods, because the sugars digest really quickly and they need to get out, or else they start to ferment. And then we have the intestinal phase, and that's the bulk of it. That's where it's mostly, you know, it could be anywhere from 12 to 18 hours in the intestinal phase. Okay. So this is the whole thing, and we'll go through each of these in detail. He's just there to give you a picture. So I've already talked about the fact that there's two kinds of digestion, mechanical and chemical. And your food is ground into small pieces on the mechanical side. And then the large molecules are broken down into small molecules by the enzymes. It's really important to remember that, because your teeth do most of the mechanical breakdown. Your stomach does a little bit more by churning and contracting. And these are just your organs, your mind, your mouth, your esophagus. Your stomach, your small intestine, your liver, your gallbladder, your pancreas, and your large intestine. We're going to go through all of these in detail so you understand the anatomy, which means what is the physical structure. Then we're going to look at the physiology, which is what is the function. And then we're going to look at the pathophysiology, which means when things are going wrong, how does it function? What kind of things can go wrong? And then we're going to look at how do you repair? How do you restore balance? And we're going to be breaking it up.